Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
We cut through the noise today and answer your questions. Keep them coming through. You can link up with me via Instagram and shoot me your question live. Of course, I love building shows around your real questions. So, should you hold gold? Today, we're going to dig a little deeper, understand one component of gold's price and the link between gold prices and bond yields. Also, you've heard about Tesla and Apple announcing their stock split. What does this really mean for investors? And in the news as well, you heard about the US WeChat ban. You want to know, is it bad? But bad for whose business, this WeChat ban? All right, we'll cover that. Also, a share buyback scheme. We heard that Warren Buffett has repurchased more than $7 billion of Berkshire Hathaway stock in the last 3 months. What are the implications for Berkshire Hathaway? Meanwhile, Jeff Bezos has sold $3 billion worth of his company. Investors want to know, should we follow suit? And MedTechs here in Singapore, it was in the news, soaring 44.6% for MedTechs International Corporation. Quite a soar yesterday after the company reported a substantial increase in its half-year earnings. But if you've read that its weightage on the iEdge SG Healthcare Index has moved up, you want to know, what does that really mean? I'm going to get to the bottom of your questions with Jingyi Pan, market strategist at IG. Good morning, Jingyi.
Good morning, Michelle. Thanks for having me this Friday.
Great to have you with us and letting us pick your brain. So the first question is around a bigger question of whether or not this person should hold gold. But we've heard that gold has taken a bit of a breather, should we say, from its rally that pushed it to record highs above $2,000 an ounce. That came to an abrupt stop. Gold has always been a staple hedge for investors. We've seen it surge almost 40% this year. But recently, we understand we've seen the metal posting a drop. And in the news, we read that this has something to do with bond yields spiking higher on Tuesday. Can you explain the relationship?
Yes, certainly. Before I start, Michelle, I just want to say that, you know, I read the question. It's really a fun session today. So, yes, going into it, the relationship between gold and U.S. Treasury yields, I think certainly, you know, with regards to gold prices and the U.S. Treasury yields, that's actually negatively correlated, which means that usually when yields go up, gold prices actually hit lower, and that's a relationship we have seen historically. So, for example, as you just pointed out, we have seen U.S. 10-year yields recently just went to levels, levels seen just above 0.5%. So that means, you know, when the yields actually dropped, that also when prices subsequently actually pushed up and even surged past the 2000 level. So recently, with some of this actually heightening of the yield a little bit here, that had actually sent gold prices, well, coming down a little bit, but I would say it's still in the uptrend. So why this is the case? Well, gold, as we know, it's a precious metal. But, you know, for investors, for you and I think, you know, really the return is entirely really depending on the storage of value. So which means that if prices actually increase for gold, you make, well, returns and more positive return. And when it will decline subsequently, you actually lose money. So that itself is as it is. Unlike, you know, for example, equities, you know, that gives you dividends and companies, well, they could actually potentially grow in future. Even this price fluctuation for gold is really very purely price. And then when you talk about on the Treasury yield end of things, that's government bonds issued by the U.S. Department of Treasury. So price, you know, inversely related to yields. So when someone says that yields had fallen, it means that the price for the government bonds had fallen. So what really draws that kind of relation over here is that for U.S. bond yields, you know, generally when returns are low, it also means that, you know, more people are, well, in pushing up the prices. So they're demanding the U.S. bond. So they're looking for safety. And that's one of the key correlation you see, you know, when people are seeking safety, they will also go to bonds. But also at the same time, you know, when there's low returns, low real returns, that's when the yield itself minus inflation rate. And then in that case, holding gold makes a lot of sense because, you know, that's where a lot of the returns are not even seen in other places as well. So in that sense, I think, you know, that, well, reflects reflects that relationship between gold and U.S. Treasury yields that we have seen. So, of course, you know, when we have seen yields inch up a little bit lately, and that's on a bit of the inflation expectations that have risen in the U.S., and also due to some parts of which that the U.S. Have actually put in a lot of supply, so that's actually sort of the price actually shifting. So that actually sort of a bit of adjustment for gold prices. But generally, we are still in a climate where we're seeing COVID-19 affecting growth, the slow recovery, geopolitical tensions, including US-China, still ongoing. That's expected to still keep gold pretty much supported. Michelle.
Thank you so much. That was a great explanation. I hope that helps you, listener. Okay, Jingyi, this just personal. I just would like to know, you know, there's this big debate between Warren Buffett and Ray Dalio when it comes to gold. So Warren Buffett thinks you can buy an ounce of gold, you can save it, you can cherish it, you can caress it, but at the end of the day, it's still going to be 1 ounce of gold. But Warren preaches that you should never exchange assets for gold. On the other hand, Ray Dalio thinks that gold is like cash or an alternative type of currency in the short term. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, so I would say that with regards to investments in general, it's very important to know what kind of situation that we are in. Generally, in this case, I would say that, especially, you know, when we hunt for returns in the market right now, there's really, you know, the stocks, of course, I think have been generating great returns for all of us. But, you know, prices are also elevated at this point of time. So just, I think, you know, on the back of if things really does get worse, particularly on COVID-19 front, that is generally seen to potentially be negative for equities. And that is already during a time where there's unprecedented help from the central banks. So if that should come by, I think, you know, that could see to potentially gold prices actually even surging higher. So on that end itself, it's really about what you want to put inside your portfolio. I know many of us may not think of this that way, but I do encourage our listeners to be thinking holistically about your investments. So gold at this point of time is seen a little bit of a hedge. It's definitely not going to take up your entire portfolio, but definitely keeping a little bit of it, I think it's very important just in case we do see things worsening and there's indeed quite a bit of uncertainties ahead, Michelle.
Thank you for helping us understand the inverse relationship between gold and US Treasury yields. Let's move on now to another question on Apple and Tesla, both in the news. After Apple, Tesla is the second largest company to announce a stock split this month. So for Tesla, we're looking at a 5-1 stock split. In other words, if you own 10 shares of Tesla, today you're going to own 50 shares after the split. But it doesn't really change the value of investments, does it? What is a stock split, Jingyi?
Yes, Michelle, I think as you mentioned, it's quite literally the splitting of a stock into more stocks. Over here, very importantly, the idea is that it does not change the value for individual investor when the thing actually takes place. So, for example, if you hold very arbitrarily here, we're just saying if you hold 1 million share of a company with 10 million shares outstanding before the split, so if there is a 2-for-1 split, which is one of those that's really very common, so your 1 million shares become 2 million shares, but that's across the entire outstanding shares, you're still holding 10% of which. So that doesn't change well how much you are holding in terms of that company's shares, and for price-wise, you'll just be split into two. So in that case, when what we're seeing with Apple, 4-for-1, 5-for-1, this is a lot bigger. I think, you know, generally we see companies conducting such kind of stock splits really with the primary aim to make it seem a lot more affordable. And also, this generally is not supposed to have a direct impact on prices, but as you probably figured, when it gets a bit more affordable, especially for companies that really see themselves as a growth company and therefore would love to have more people investing their shares. So that could actually draw a lot more interest. In fact, with Tesla and Apple, we have seen share prices rising after the announcement. And that's really, I think, you know, it's one of the key kind of changes we usually see around this situation. Because, you know, vice versa, if there's not a lot of confidence, this happening wouldn't have the same effect, Michelle.
Okay. Who does this stock split? I mean, can you see the impact of the stock split on an index, for example? It's thought that Apple Inc.'s stock split will diminish its influence on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I mean, for people looking at indexes, can a stock split impact an index?
Well, on this end itself, I am not too privy, unfortunately. I would say that, you know, with regards to the participation there, the market capitalization, and particularly for the likes of the Dow, that's not market cap, but really, I think, you know, on the price weighted end, you could see to a bit of changes. But I would, for the one that I look at a lot closely, S&P, for example, it's a market capitalization weighted. So for Apple as a stock, that does not change its market cap in general. In fact, it could actually increase with that heightened investment inside, Michelle.
Right. Okay. Let's go to another question, and thank you for them. Keep them coming through. You can reach me at Michelle Martin Radio. Let's look at the ban of WeChat. So the Trump administration's decision to ban WeChat, it's going to affect Apple's $44 billion US dollar business in China. Thought that the US WeChat ban, here's a question, bad for whose business? What can you say to that, Wujingyi?
Yeah, so definitely an interesting one, and one that we've all kept our eyes on quite closely this week as the announcement itself actually flowed through towards the market. And we do know that while the date is not set at this point of time, US-China talks is expected, but China is expected to raise this issue itself. So we know that President Donald Trump himself looking at banning WeChat and TikTok, two of which, in fact, the details, I think it's not really very clear at this point of time, but definitely we have heard from the likes of Apple executives just really being concerned on the impact itself. So WeChat itself is a chat app operated by the internet giant Tencent. And it's also, as we know, I think pretty much like here in Singapore, WhatsApp potentially for us is very extensively used. But in fact, I would say it's perhaps your WhatsApp and DBS and all the other apps combined into one, because it really comes through to be useful for other things like payments, e-commerce, and even as a really marketing platform. So it's been seen in very integrated into the lives of Chinese in China, and for Apple, that's really one of the key important markets over there. So if really we do find a situation of potentially WeChat not being found on the Apple App Store, that's, you know, what we have heard potentially earlier with Google and Huawei. But this, I would say, is on a very bigger scale and magnitude, just really due to the fact that Apple really draws about 20% of its revenue just from China itself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks in China could potentially switch away from Apple if that should come by. We know that Apple previously had struggled a little bit with their sales in China with the high prices. They've lowered prices that help to see growth in terms of the sales. But if this comes by, I think it's going to take a bit of a toll and also collateral damage as well. As US and China get into this kind of conflict, a lot of people may not actually be taking up Apple smartphones. And on that end itself, definitely I think that's the worry.
Is WeChat essential software on your phone?
Well, I would say in the Singapore audience, no. But definitely, I would say that, you know, that's one for WeChat, you know, really, I think with Tencent, they have been looking to grow a lot of their revenue in a way beyond China. I think, you know, we have seen recently, just I think in 2019, over 90% of their revenue is still coming through from China itself. So I think definitely they are looking to potentially expand, you know, in terms of how they are going to grow in other markets, such as the US. So therefore, this comes across as a very big issue. And definitely we're going to look to how the details itself is going to be, Michelle.
Yeah, I downloaded it just so that I could experience WeChat Pay. You know, I wanted to see how the platform really works. Really interesting, although I have about 5 friends in China, but still useful. All right, we're speaking with Jingyi Pan, a market strategist at IG. Let's talk about the billionaire investor Warren Buffett. Whenever he does something, investors are riveted. So Warren Buffett has repurchased more than $7 billion US dollars of Berkshire Hathaway stock in the last 3 months. That's made the news. Investors want to know if the founder of the company and the CEO is buying back billions of his company's stock, should we be doing the same?
So definitely it's very interesting in this sense. I think what it should give you an idea is that it encourages you to buy that shares, and I'll explain why. So just now you mentioned, Michelle, buyback program is literally buying back your own shares of your company. So generally, we see a company who may actually be doing this kind of share repurchase program is really to boost the value of their own stock and to potentially just really see to their improvement on the financial statements and of things. It could be because the management really think that the current price of their company's trading is a bit undervalued, and therefore they hope that through this kind of buyback, it's a bit of an injection of their confidence, and also, well, potentially, in a way, actually offer a little bit of support to their current shareholders as well. So they typically do so with cash, and we know that, well, Warren Buffett with Berkshire Hathaway has done this as well. There is a bit of a risk, of course, you know, if the market isn't confident in the company, share prices could actually fall after a buyback, but certainly we haven't seen that really been the case with the Berkshire Hathaway. So I think, you know, what we have seen in this case, I think really fits that bill in terms of, well, Warren Buffett himself does actually coming in to inject a bit of cash on the side to the company. That's, well, it could actually indicate that he's actually seeing a bit undervalued. So we've seen that kind of a bit of a positive reaction, I should say, Michelle.
All right, so Berkshire Hathaway shares closed $211.90, down 0.63%. Very interesting. Let's move to the local scene. Here's a question on MedTechs, probably because it was in the news yesterday. The shares of MedTechs International Corporation surged 44.6% yesterday. It hit an intraday high of $1.45 and then it eased to about $1.41. I'll give you the latest share price in just a bit. The question is, MedTechs is the 30th most traded stock this year. It provides hospital services and healthcare products. It manufactures reusable hospital apparel. It's seen its weightage on the iEdge SG All Healthcare Index soar. I want to know what goes into the weightage of this index. So when people read that it soared, what does this mean?
So definitely an interesting one. In fact, I think I've probably seen this buzzing around in some of the various Singapore forums as well. So SG All Healthcare Index, this well by SGX is a market capitalization weighted index. So, well, pretty much like how we've seen the local Straits Times Index. And just now when I mentioned the S&P 500 Index, that is really the way that it's been measured. So it's really taking the market cap and all together for the entire index and the percentage of that across the entire thing. So what we have seen, well, it measures well the performance of the healthcare segment in Singapore, and of course a lot of which including whether you're talking about healthcare providers, manufacturers, distributors of medical equipment, pharmaceutical companies, biotech and healthcare. So generally that's what we have seen. Well, for the index, it's performing well pretty positively, but really as you mentioned, this MedTech name comes across as one that's really been well, a shining star perhaps over here. So what we have seen with this situation is that MedTech at the start of the year was trading at around 2.75 cents at the end of 2019. So most recently, and I'm looking at my screen now, it's $1.64. Quite a significant jump, very exponential in the way that things look for MedTech. I think, you know, another name that comes across is quite familiar, is the likes of Top Glove. So I think these are the companies, particularly as they manufacture a lot of these consumables, that's in heavy demand during this period of COVID-19, had likewise seen their price perform in a way that's corresponding to kind of demand as well. So perhaps not a bit of a surprise over here, but, you know, really that thing reflects the kind of situation.
All right. We have more questions coming in, but we're going to save them, listeners, for the next show because Pan Jingyi has brought us through so much today. Jingyi, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Take care. Have a great weekend.
She's Pan Jingyi, market strategist at IG, answering some common questions this morning in Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.